All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've been diagnosed by a friend, a fellow member of the Body of Christ, over the phone. She says, I have bronchitis. So it makes sense to me. I got all the symptoms of bronchitis. First thing you need is lungs, then you need them to get inflamed. And yeah, so anyway, that's what I got. So I'm trying to do my best here. Don't feel very good. I've already had it for about 8 days, so I think I'm going to get over it here pretty soon. It runs its course. I've been doing some good healthy stuff for it, I think. Chicken noodle soup, fluids, vitamin C, steam, breathe some steam. Yeah, speaking of steam, let's talk about the second death. excuse me, I haven't talked about the second death in a long time. And I got an email today by somebody who's confused about the second death. It can happen. I know, that's why I'm here. If nobody got confused over the second death, I wouldn't be here, right? It wouldn't be a need for me. But there's a great need for me, especially on the second death. Well, not especially, but this is a pet peeve of mine. This is why. I hate death. I hate death, and I hate to see death glorified. And the argument about the second death is that it's actually not really death. It's a second mortality. Yes. Some people think it's like a reform school. I'm not making fun of the person that wrote me. So if he's watching, don't think I'm making fun of you. I'm actually making fun of other people from my past who gave me a real hard time on this. They gave God a hard time on it. Because God knows what the second death is. It's not that hard. They want to glorify it. Turn it into a second mortality. In fact, they do worse than that. They make it into something that it's like a second reform. It's like a reform school, the second death. People are learning, being educated in the second death. They're getting a chance to learn about God and about Jesus that they didn't have in this life. The second death, you'll find it mentioned in Revelation. Only in Revelation, I believe, yes. Revelation 20, verse 14. And maybe later when they talk about the New Jerusalem and the people who are out, not in that city. They're in the second death. The first thing you must be establishing, this is so foundational, is that death is the absence of life. You would think this would be foundational. Yes, but mort and death is used as a figure of speech sometimes. Yes, it's true. But this is the most important thing I'll say to you about the second death. And then I'm going to talk to you about the first death. Even when words are used as figures of speech, their meaning doesn't change. The meaning of the word doesn't change, okay? So, when we're interpreting scripture, we have a rule, don't we? And our rule is literal if possible. So, for instance, in the parable of the prodigal son, the son goes out, spends his inheritance, lives wildly, wantonly, realizes his mistake, comes back to his father and begs him for forgiveness. And his older brother said, what's going on out here? The father said, this, your brother was dead, and he returns. Was he dead? No. He was out hooking up with hookers and eating sumptuously. He wasn't dead, but it was like he was dead. He was unresponsive to wisdom. See, death always means the same, even when you're using it figuratively. He was unresponsive to the wisdom of his father, unresponsive to his own conscience. He wasn't thinking about anything. It was like he was dead. Yeah, right? Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You remember that verse? Literal, if possible. Let the dead bury their own dead. Okay, dead people are buried. So the second dead, see how easy this is? The second dead is literal. Let the dead bury their own dead. Have I ever seen a dead person with a shovel? Not unless you're watching a zombie movie. So the dead, let the dead bury their own dead. The first dead are figuratively dead. We try to make it literal. Try to make a dead person thinking, but scripture is, in other places of scripture, you know what death is. And God makes sure you know what death is. He puts verses in the scripture like the dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. When's that? Is that Revelation 20, verse 5? Yeah, The dead do not live. The dead, the rest of the dead do not live. The dead do not live. It's a double whammy there to help you understand. If you don't know what dead people are, they do not live. So that's the default setting. We go to the default setting. And the default setting is dead or literally dead. So let the dead bury their own dead. No, dead people can't bury anybody. Therefore, they're figuratively dead. In what sense are they figuratively dead? They're unresponsive to the things of the spirit. Unresponsive. They're like, duh. That's what they would sound. That's what the... This is what the literal dead sound like. They don't sound like anything. This is what the figurative dead sound like. Oh. They don't know anything either, except they're breathing. That's the only difference. The literal dead and the figurative dead are just the same, except the figurative dead are breathing, but they're just dopey. So for people to say that the second death, I guess people just don't like this. They don't like the second death. Oh, they're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation 20:14. We don't like that. That sounds mean. So we're going to make this a second mortality. We're going to make it a second reform school. We're going to make it a, like a re-education camp where people go and they have another chance at life. They can get the experiences that they didn't get in this life, and there'll be classes, and there'll be Bible classes. There'll be summer Bible school in the second death in the lake of fire, mind you, lake of fire. Yeah, I forgot to mention this. The lake of fire is the second death. Revelation 20:14. Lake of fire is the second death. I'll explain that to you. Don't know if it's going to happen today. sorry. It's the bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. So, yes, they want to make it a time to come and learn about God. But what did I just say? Even if it were figurative, nobody's coming to God, because then you'd have to be with it. You'd have to be snappy. You'd have to be, yeah, you have to have the beat, you know? And, oh, yeah, I understand this now. Not even in figurative death do people understand anything. Remember, the figurative dead sound like this. Oh, so that doesn't work whatsoever. To make the second death a reform school does not work, because people are reforming. People are learning. People don't do that, not even if they're only figuratively dead. So these people, they were unresponsive to the things of the spirit in this life. So they rise at the great white throne. That's when this happens. The dead and the small rise at the great white throne, unbelieving, the unbelieving dead, because the believers have already been vivified, body of Christ first, then Israel. And we're led to believe that then these people whose names are not written in the book of life, and I think it's an exception if your name is not in the book of life. I think the general rule is that the judgment is based on these people's works, on their acts, not their faith. They didn't have any faith. That's already a given. Of course they didn't have any faith. That's why they're at the great white throne. They weren't raised in any of the previous resurrections. Christ's resurrection, obviously only Christ, and those who are Christ in his presence, that is, members of the body of Christ in Israel. So, most people will gallop out to the new earth. Those whose names are not written in the book of life, oh, these are your real baddies. These are your bad apples. You got your Hitlers, you got your Billy Grahams here. Yeah, they go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Lake of fire, second death. So these people were unresponsive to the truth in this life. Now we're going to send them to a place that's going to make them unresponsive for another 1,000 years or more? No, it's death. Now, to understand the second death, all you got to do is understand the first death. When people ask me, Martin, what's the second death? Like it's a big mystery. I said, this is how I answer that question. You can do this too. I said, well, you know the first death? They go, yeah. I say, it's just more of it. It's more of it. But actually, ladies and gentlemen, not many people understand the first death even. They think we're in the first death now. And they get this from a mistranslation in Genesis. God told our forefather and our foremother, on the day you eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. They ate of it, right? So you would think that, okay, they died that day. They died. But strange, they're still walking around. They're still producing children. They're still eating fruit, celebrating Christmas and Easter. How is it that they're dead? Well, Martin, they died spiritually. Died spiritually. Do you realize spiritual death is the most contradictive term you could ever come up with? Death is the opposite of spirit. Spirit's the opposite of death. Spirit is life. Death is the absence of life. Spiritual death, two trains crashing in the night here. It's a crime scene. Spiritual death, that term. It's a crime scene. No one is spiritual dead, spiritually dead. You're either literally dead or you're figuratively dead. You're not spiritually dead. What people mean to say when they say spiritual death, they mean to say figuratively death. And I always correct them on this gently, kindly, in my inimitable way. I correct them. I said, because I hate the term spiritual death. I told you, and I've been telling you, death will not be glorified on my watch. I will not let anyone tell you that death is a wonderful place for people to learn about Jesus Christ after they're judged at the great white throne, i.e. the lake of fire. No, you'll never hear that from me because it's not true. Death is an enemy. Paul calls it an enemy. If people are in there being reformed, being educated, learning about God, how is it an enemy? It's a friend. Christians think today death is a friend. It takes people to be with Jesus. Well, he's with Jesus now. No, he's not. He's dead. She's with the Lord. No, she's not with the Lord. She's dead. I hate to say it. I got skin in the game. I have loved ones who are dead. They're not with the Lord. They didn't go to a better place. No, they don't exist. Tough truth, but comforting at the same time because they don't know what's going on down here. In this tough place down here we call planet Earth. They don't know what's going on. So that's good for them. but the first death is, let me ask you this. Have you been to a funeral home lately? All right. You've walked up to the honoree. You've walked up to the reason why everybody's there, and they're just kind of laying there, aren't they? They're not moving. They're kind of stiff. They look bad, except everybody says they look, oh, he looks so good. No, he doesn't. He looks terrible. He's dead. Uncle Harold is dead. Well, that's the first death. That's the first death. What we entered into, what our forefathers and foremothers brought us into, our foremother, forefather, they brought us into mortality. There's a different Greek word for mortality. Mortality is a state. It's a state of dying. And this is how that verse is actually translated. On the day you eat the fruit to die, you shall be dying. That's the concordant version of the Old Testament. It's beautiful. It's sensible. The word, the Hebrew word for die occurs twice in that passage. But the King James, of course, they botch it. And they say, you shall surely die. They thought that the two words side by side was emphasis. You shall surely die. I mean, you're really going to die. Kind of like being a little bit pregnant. What do you mean you're really going to die? You're going to die big time. That's why the word's here twice. No, the word's here twice, numbnuts, so that you could translate it instead of interpret it. Just bring it over. To die, you shall be dying. To die, someday, you shall be dying today. And then even Satan got it right. Frickin' Satan got it right. Did God say, to die, you shall be dying? Even Satan got it right. He quotes God correctly. Christians can't get it right. So this brings us to this idea that we're spiritually dead. No, we're figuratively dead, but that's a huge mistake because that leads people to believe that death isn't really death. Because, well, it said that on the day you eat it, you shall die, and we're still alive, so death must be a place where you could be still alive. Could be. Death has different meanings, Martin. It's got different meanings. Don't you know that words have different... No, they don't. Not in the Hebrew, not in the Greek. But in English, Martin, I know, that's why God didn't choose English to reveal himself. Yeah, you bat the bat with a bat in English. You don't do that in the Greek. You don't do it in the Hebrew, ever. Nobody bats a bat with a bat. Not in the Greek or Hebrew. They're specific languages. In English, we say, I love my wife. I love God and I love hot dogs. How can you love? Greek has different words for these different things. But anyway, I digress. It was fun though. So the second death